subject that needs to be addressed. We need to think about this subject. The title of my lesson is, Jesus does not want you to go to hell. Jesus does not want you to go to hell. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it's very clear from Jesus' teaching there that there are two inviters of man, Jesus and Satan. There are two gates. There's a narrow gate and there's a wide gate. There are two ways. There is the straight way and there's the broad way. And there are two destinies. There is eternal life and there is eternal destruction. Jesus says, come ye at the straight gate. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. This is a soul-searching subject. Very important subject. Subject that each and every one of us need to pay careful attention to. Because as the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 6, verses 7 to 9, that we are sowing seed. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's what Jesus desires of each and every one of us. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, as he was addressing those who he wrote that letter originally to, he referred to them as strangers, sojourners in this land. And that's what we are. We're not here very long, as Micah mentioned at the Lord's table. We're not here that long. We have come from God. You remember Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1 said that God told Jeremiah that I knew you when you were in your mother's womb. I knew you back then. He knows each and every one of us. And each and every one of us are going to go back to him someday. And he's going to pronounce judgment on each and every one of us. And we are going to go to one of two places. We are going to either go to eternal life with him, or we're going to go to eternal destruction. In Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 43, Jesus had these words. He said, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than to have two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter in halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, those things that are most precious to us. He's not literally referring to our hand, or he's not literally referring to our foot or our eye. He's talking to those things in this life that we value, those possessions that we value so dearly. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of life, God, with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. The only way any sinner, which we are all sinners, Romans 3 and verse 23, we've all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. There's not an individual in this world today that is not a sinner. There was only one perfect life, and that was Jesus, the Hebrew writer tells us. He was without sin, without sin. That was Jesus. Each and every individual who has ever touched foot on the face of this earth is a sinner. We've fallen short of God's glory. And the only way any sinner can avoid going to hell is to obey the gospel, thus being saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. He tasted death. Jesus tasted death for every man. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. He's the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. The grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. Titus chapter 2. He gave Himself for us. God spared not. Think about this. God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Romans 8 and verse 32. He delivered Him up for us all, each and every one of us. That's why He hung upon the cross for you and I. And because of that, Jesus does not want us to go to hell. He does not want us to leave this world in a lost condition. Why? Why does He not want us to go to hell? Because He loves us so much. He loves you so much that He gave His Son. John 3, verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. He loves each and every person and wants everyone to go to heaven. That's one of the reasons why He doesn't want you to go to hell. Because He loves you so much. And another reason why He doesn't want you to go to hell, because heaven is so wonderful. And He wants to share that place with you. Revelation chapter 1, 21 and verse 1 and following. And He also doesn't want you to go to hell because hell is so terrible. God is someday going to take, in flaming fire, He's going to take vengeance on them that know not God and those that have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And those people are going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 9. Verses 7 to 9. I want to take a look at, for just a few moments, some of the things that are going to be your lot if you go to hell. And think about these things. This is so very important. What's going to be your lot if you go to hell? Number one, if you go to hell, you are going to die alone. You are going to die alone. No matter how much your family may love you, no matter if they stand by your bed in your dying moments, they cannot go with you through the door of death into eternity. They can't go. You're going to go alone. You know, the psalmist in Psalm 23 and verse 7 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. When the Christian leaves this world, you know who's going to go with him? Jesus is going to be there with him. God's going to be there with him, because the psalmist told us that. When he goes through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear no evil, for you are going to be with me. But the Lord is going to be with those who die in faithfulness. But those who die outside of Christ are going to go it alone. They're going to go it alone. Luke 16, verse 22 tells us that the angels carried Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. Why? Because Lazarus was a child of God under the old covenant. He was a child of God. The faithful are not going to have to cross Jordan alone. But the wicked are going to die alone. The rich man, in Luke 16, verse 22, the rich man died and was buried. There's no mention of angels. Why? Because they weren't there. He went alone. Something else. If you go to hell immediately after death, you are going to lift up your eyes in torment. You're going to lift up your eyes in torment. In Luke 16, verse 23, the rich man, after his death, lifted up his eyes being in torments. Think about this too. He was not yet in hell. Where do the wicked go after the resurrection of the dead? They go to the Hadean realm, where the souls of all men go who physically die until Jesus comes back. And even there, it was torment. He pleaded with Abraham that somehow or other, could he go back and warn his brothers so they don't go there? And what did God tell him? He said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. If they don't want to go where you're at. Each wicked person in Tartarus will suffer even before being cast into hell. That's how bad it is. That's why Jesus doesn't want anyone to go there. In Hades, it's going to be terrible. Because something else to think about too, when you think about the rich man, Jesus gave us that example of the rich man and Lazarus. You're going to have memory of your loved ones on earth. Think about that. You're going to have memory of your loved ones on earth. You will have memory of your own wasted opportunities to repent and obey the gospel. Because that is the only place that salvation is found. And sadly, you'll be regretting those missed opportunities. Imagine this for just a minute. The opportunities one has to be saved and to remain faithful by just doing what the Lord commanded you to do. If you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. You will obey my principles. You will follow my example. That's one of the reasons why Jesus came to this earth, to defeat Satan and that we might have the way to eternal life. Through his precious blood that he shed on Calvary's cross. Something else. When you go to hell, if you go to hell, what are you going to hear? What are you going to hear at the judgment? What are you going to hear at the judgment? The lost are going to be on the left hand, while the saved are going to be on the right. The lost will hear from the Lord these words: depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and the angels. That originally was only for the devil and the angels. But if you are going to persist in your ignorance of my word and turn away from me and not pay attention to my word and not obey my commands, then you're going to have to share that with Satan and the fallen angels. Isn't that sad? May each and every one of us ask himself this question. What would it be like if I were to hear those words at the judgment? What's it going to be like? It's going to be tragic, isn't it? You don't want that. Jesus doesn't want that. You know what the saved are going to hear? The saved are going to hear Jesus say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Matthew 25 and verse 34. If you go to hell, just think about this, how terrible it's going to be. You're not going to hear the beautiful beautiful, wonderful singing of praises of God by the saved. You're not going to hear that there. In hell, you're going to hear the wail of the lost and the anguish that they are going through. In hell, those who have loved and obeyed the Lord are not going to be there. The Lord is not going to be there. You know who's going to be there? The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, those who have engaged in lasciviousness, those who were impenitent, all those who have not obeyed the gospel. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. Galatians 5 verses 9 to 21. 2 Thessalonians 1 verses 7 to 9. Romans 1, verses 18 to 32. I don't have time to get into all these passages of Scripture, but those are the people that are going to be there. In hell, one loses everything that gives worth and value to one's existence as a human being. It's going to be lost. Going to suffer anguish, torment, sorrow, beyond our ability to imagine. In hell, that's Revelation 20, verses 10 to 15. In hell, the suffering, think about this, is never going to come to an end. It is going to be eternal. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to try to understand how tragic it is to be lost. It's tragic. And you know, something else to think about too. There are roadblocks. There are roadblocks in this life that Satan has put there to try to get you to go there and to try to block your way to heaven. Do you realize that? Satan doesn't want you to go there. He doesn't want you to be there. He is trying to block your way there. And these barriers have got to be removed in order to see the eternal streets of glory. And Satan has cleverly devised his traps and his pitfalls along our journey. We're on a journey. Remember, I told you that. We're headed towards our eternal destination. Each and every one of us are. We are going to spend eternity somewhere. We can escape his fiery darts. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. How can we do that? By a steadfast faith. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8 to 9. As long as we are faithful to our Lord, Satan cannot harm us. But we've got to be obedient to his word. We've got to be washed, cleansed of our sins by the precious blood of Jesus. There's no other way. There's no other way to heaven because there is no sin in heaven, and God is not going to permit any sin to enter heaven. And if you haven't been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, do you think you're going to get into heaven? Do you think you're going to get there? How are we cleansed by that blood? By obedience to the gospel. By being buried in the waters of baptism and rise up a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. It's a burial is what it is. Just like Jesus was buried and rose from the grave, we raised from that grave of sin and sorrow, having our sins cleansed by the blood of Jesus. There's no other way. And then we've got to avoid Satan's schemes. We've got to be aware of and prepared for these barriers, because even after we obey the gospel, he's going to try to get you. He is going to try to keep you from getting to heaven. What are one of the ways that he's going to try to block your way there? A lack of preparation. What is heaven? Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people, people that are ready to go there. You remember Jesus gave the example in Matthew chapter 25 of the 10 virgins? Five were what? Five were ready. When the bridegroom came, they had oil for their lamps. But what was wrong with the other five? They weren't ready, weren't they? Were they? They were not prepared. The five foolish virgins had the door to God's presence closed. Why? Because they were not ready. They were not prepared. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, when the Lord comes suddenly as a thief in the night, if He would so come while we are here on the face of this earth, are you ready? If Jesus would come right now, are you ready to go? Are you prepared? And likewise, our life is but a vapor, James tells us. It appears for a little time, then vanishes away. We don't know when our life's going to end. I could fall dead right up here tonight before I end my lesson. We don't know that. Are you ready right now? If He would come. We've got to be ready at all times. You know, referring to the old nation of Israel in Ezekiel chapter 19 and verse 5. You know what God wrote there about pertaining to His nation back then? He said this. He said, Israel waited and all hope was lost. All hope for them was lost. Zephaniah spoke of the day of impending doom as a moment of sorrow, of gloom, of darkness, and of hopelessness. Zephaniah 2 and verse 15. You know what Hosea tells us in Hosea 10 and verse 12? It's time to seek the Lord. When is that time? That time's right now. Seek the Lord right now. Sad words of Jeremiah was, you know, in Jeremiah's day, he said that the harvest is ended, the summer is ended, the harvest is past, the summer's ended, and we are not saved. And those people had to go off into captivity. It's worse now. If you're not saved and your life ends or Jesus returns, what's going to happen to you? Where are you going to end up? Doesn't look good, does it? We've got to be prepared. We've got to be ready. Number two, so very important. Satan will try to get you here too. Don't overlook the danger signals. There are danger signals out there. Just as there are warning signs when you come upon something on the highway, God has eternity marked out. He's marked it out clearly. How to get there? Watch out. He tells us, watch out for those times when dangers come. Be prepared. Be ready. Be prepared. Look out for the danger signals. There are danger signals that are flashing. Beware. I was telling Mary the other night when there was a bad wreck up on 70. I was out on the interstate till 2 o'clock in the morning because they just shut down the interstate. Couldn't go. And now there was flashes of lights. I knew what was coming up, and I stopped. And then we just sit there, and we had to wait and wait. God's got warning signals. Watch out for them. We are challenged to be on guard against evil companionship, corrupts good morals. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. Watch out who you associate with. Satan can get you away. He can lead you astray. Beware of evil sensuality. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Also, beware of the danger of false teaching. Colossians chapter 2 and verses 8 to 10. There's a lot of false teaching in our world today that are contrary to the doctrine of Christ. 2 John. Avoid those things. Keep away from them. Don't have anything to do with them. I love this little poem I ran across. You probably have heard of it. It has these words. It says, take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever through endless years the same. His love is the same. He's extending his invitation. Come to me. Don't go to that place. Avoid those things that are going to cause you to fall. And be prepared. And something else, and then I'll wrap it up. Something else that can get in our way of the path to heaven is refusing to grow spiritually. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to grow in Him. The Bible powerfully insists that we grow spiritually. We've got to press on to our goal. We must have zeal, determination, and proper emphasis if we are to reach heaven. I'm going to turn over to a passage of Scripture. I know I'm running out of time. I just want to share this with you. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 2, you notice what he says there. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning of verse 12, he said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in this world. Grow spiritually in the Lord. Draw closer and closer to Him. Avoid the pitfalls that are coming your way. Be prepared. Be ready. You know what the early church used to cry out? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come, we're ready. Are we ready for Him if He would so come now? Are you ready to go with Him? That's the most important thing. Because you don't want to go. And something else to think about too. You realize Jesus had more to say about hell than any of the other writers and whatnot, inspired writers of Scripture. Why? Because he's trying to impress upon us the importance of avoiding that place and going to be with Him. That's where He wants us. He wants us to spend eternity with Him. If you're here this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, why not? Why not? Or perhaps you have once obeyed that gospel, but you've strayed away from Him. I would not want to be in your shoes. I would not want to be in that situation. Please think about your eternal destination. Think about Jesus. He went out after that one sheep that was lost. He wants you to come back to the fold of safety. It's in Him. If we can help you in any way, if we can pray with you, help you to be restored back with the right relationship with Him, or perhaps you have once not obeyed the gospel, can we help you do so? If there's anyone who has a need, please come while we stand and sing.